Welcome to the City Church Podcast. We hope that you will be abundantly blessed by this message. If you would like to find out more about the city, please log on to our website, www.thecity.sg.
Morning, church. How are you liking the MPH? Y'all like it better than the Audi? Just a little survey, hey? Okay, well, we just resumed our services for the year last week. And then we had, before that we had this, sorry, just give me a moment. I'm just like taking it in, all right? Just adjusting. It's very wide. Thank you. And we had this two-week sabbatical where I think a bunch of us probably visited churches. Yes? Anybody visit a church during those 2 weeks? Nope. A lot of hands are just like, I just slept in during those two Sundays and it was awesome. Great. Well, I visited a couple of churches and one of the churches that I went to, I want to tell you a bit about it. Okay, so I went to this church. It was a very young church, okay, full of young people. Withhold your guesses. Okay, so like tons of youth everywhere, super excited, so many people serving, right? Like I think you throw one stone, got one leader, you throw one stone, got some like young person who's running like the ministry or something, I don't know. But it was like quite an experience, right? And it was just this energy, right, in that place. And I noticed a couple, obviously I walk in and then like, there's just so much design work everywhere. You know, there's so much slides and there's so much everything, right? Then I'm like, wow, the amount of design work per Sunday is like mad. So I talked to the church staff, then I'm like, so you, is it you have like some dark room with like kids or just like editing away, right? And this is what she told me. She said that, oh, actually, right, they all want to do something. And so we actually like find things for them to do. Like any bit of thing that you can have some design work, like, okay, go and do, right? And I thought that was really cool, right? I thought that was like this sense of like energy, this sense of like excitement. Now I'm not gonna lie, the cynic in me did think for a moment, let them hit their 20s, you know, realize life, their faith was built on finding identity in doing things, ultimately deconstruct once they hit uni. Just being real, hey? Okay, but I realize how much contempt and cynicism is in that little line, okay? I reflect. And as I reflected, I realized that, hey, maybe there's something there, right? There's something that I envy. There's something that I actually want to see, right? A sense of energy, a sense of readiness, a sense of excitement in serving God. Anybody excited about it? We'll get there. I'm going to be honest. By the way, like if y'all have an ins and outs list for like 2024, one of my ins is to be honest with my feelings. So I'm going to be honest with my feelings. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for that? Okay, I thought of my own kind of like personal disposition towards like serving. I thought of kind of general sentiments that I kind of catch here and there, even in our community. And I feel there's maybe a bit of a difference. Right, at Alpha, every time we run Alpha, y'all fans of Alpha, the first meeting we always go around and then we'll share like, oh, what brought you to Alpha? Why are you here? And every year I will say the same joke. I'll say, oh, I'm here because I work here. Right, and I joke, right, but sometimes I'll be like, you know, there's this sense of a bit like, no choice, so that kind of sentiment, right? As you know, someone who works in church and you know, I kind of like am in like a couple of ministries and all, right? I do have the opportunity to you know approach different people and ask, like, hey, do you feel like you want to serve in like this kind of area, that kind of area? And I often get this line which shuts me up very quickly. Okay, the line is, I just feel it's not the season right now and I have other priorities and a lot going on. I'm just trying to make sure I protect my capacity. All right, silence. Very silent. Okay, that's not personal, huh? If you've ever told me that, it's not you. I'm just gonna put it out there. It's super general thing that I came up with in my head. Yeah. So one, I'm definitely not advocating for burnout here, which I'm gonna touch on later. But don't you feel that there could be something more? There could be something more when it comes to this sense of like enthusiasm, this sense of gusto, this sense of joy when it comes to serving the house of God. More than the church as an organization with a constant need for manpower, more than the church as a brand that needs to be upkept, sustained, steadily built, more than serving when I just have like free time, or even more than serving just out of a sense of guilt. I wonder if Jesus were to walk into this place, into our church today, what he would think, what he would feel about our love for his people, our service to one another. Last week, Pastor Andre shared about having a different spirit, right? One not ruled by cynicism, but one that's captured with a sense of wonder, not ruled by fear, but called forward in boldness, right? And I believe that God invites us to participate fully and freely in service to his body. Today, my title today is A More Excellent Way. And if you remember one thing, this is like the main crux of the message, right? That between wasting our gifts and burning ourselves out, Jesus calls us to a more excellent way. A joyful life of service fueled by his abundant love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your love that is abundant towards us. We thank you for your compassion, for your mercy, your patience, your kindness. God, I pray more than anything today that our hearts would perceive your kindness. Our hearts will be moved by your love. Lord, I ask that you would form us to be a people, God, who are led by your spirit, who are led by your grace, and who will be led into boldness, and who will be obedient to follow wherever you lead us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to first start by focusing my message here, right? So, I'm not going to be talking so much about, like, the theology of work, finding purpose in what we do, in maybe the marketplace, building the kingdom in the world, and that kind of stuff, okay? Today, I'm actually really referring more specifically to serving God's people, his body, and most often in a local church setting. And I just acknowledge from the get-go like that I think that this notion of serving can stir up different kind of emotions, a mixed bag of feelings. For some of us, it is a joy. We love it. Can't get enough of it. Excited every Sunday to wake up early. Yeah. And for others, maybe serving comes with real baggage for you. Maybe you had a bad experience serving in church before. The way people treated you in that experience, how things were managed, caused you to have some hurt. And maybe you even hold a kind of general suspicion or cautiousness when it comes to this idea of serving. I think living in Singapore makes it a bit harder even to get our minds around this idea or this notion of serving. There's this thing called a garrison mentality. Anyone ever heard of that before? All right. Well, if you haven't heard, it's basically a fancy way to say kiasi, okay, which is like scared of dying. And it's this sense of like self-preservation. If you trace it back in the early years of Singapore's independence, a lot of the political state rhetoric revolved around this idea of like we're all alone. No one's going to help us, right? Resources are finite, and you need to prioritize stability, pragmatism, being preemptive, survival, And maybe it can't be helped, right, that this kind of pragmatism has found a way into our thinking, has found a way into the way that we feel. Even when it comes to serving, giving of our time, our gifts, our resources, our energy. So we have that to deal with. Okay, sounds like a bummer. But let's take a look at what Scripture says about this. Yeah, you all good? It's very grim material, no? Okay. Okay, so the teaching text is in 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to go up further to actually the starting part of that chapter, if you have your Bibles. Now it says, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, skipping down to verse 4, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, excuse me, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And it lists a whole bunch of different gifts, right? So I think the first thing that we can look at what Scripture says about this idea of serving and all is that we are all gifted individually by God. Gifts are individually given from God. Every single person here has a gift. All right? Turn to the person next to you and say, you are gifted. Gifted program material, all that. Right? Verse 7 says, right, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. Ephesians 4 verse 7 says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. There are many different gifts, but the same giver, the Holy Spirit, who supplies them. So today we all sit in this place, and I just want you to know from Scripture that every single person, even if you feel you're the most ungifted person, you have it. Okay, if you are a believer of Jesus, have a relationship with Him, you are filled with the Spirit, you have a spiritual gift. And it's such an exciting thing for us to even like discover these things, right? Discover how you and I are uniquely made, uniquely formed, uniquely gifted in God. I was at a retreat recently, and so it's a retreat, and I had to see this like spiritual director. It's basically like a doctor for the soul. He just prescribes me like, okay, you pray this one, this passage. Then I go back to my room, then I pray that passage, then I'm like, oh, this actually helps. But he gave me a kind of reflection question, right? And he got me to read, like list down what do you think are the greatest gifts that God has given you, right? Second question was like, what are your strongest assets and then your weaknesses? And any Asians here? Yeah. So I tried to start on the gifts part. And I was like, oh, struggle, man. Then when it comes to liabilities, hope, you gotta stop me from writing, man. But I think a lot of times we kind of like interact with this in this way. But it's something so, and as I begin to do it more and actually write down like even moments in my life where I've seen God use me in weakness, I begin to see certain themes, right? Certain themes of the way that I feel joy in doing things, certain themes of the way that I feel things that come naturally to me that are maybe more gifted at. And it's really interesting that we get to, you know, grow into that. And I just want to like put it out there also that like I think a lot of times when we think of like giftedness and you know, knowing what our gifts are, we have this sense of like shrinking back because we like, I want to be humble, right? I don't want to be puffed up and like, no lah, I'm not smart lah, huh? You know? But if you think about it, to be humble is to really have a very accurate view of yourself, right? Not one that's puffed up, but also not one that's too low, right? If someone were to go like, hey, actually you're like really smart, maybe you should like teach, right? And then you're like, no lah, I'm not smart lah, I don't teach lah, right? You are kind of like not stewarding the gifts that God has given you under that pretense of humility, right? So I think that there's like much to be discovered as we, you know, aim to find out what are these gifts that God has given to us. But I'm going to go more into the gifts, okay? Actually, here's a list of gifts that's mentioned in Scripture. Administration, I love it. I'm totally not administrative, so like, thank you, Shannon, in the youth group. you know, apostles, people who lead discernment, evangelism, exhortation, whole long list of like different gifts, not exhaustive, but things that we can look at and ponder, even if you never thought like you fit into any of these. Okay? I want to go to my second point, which is in that when we read verse 7, right? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Gifts are not for you. Right? So you are gifted. God has given you gifts, be it to teach, to encourage, to exhort, all these things. But these gifts aren't primarily to make you feel good about yourself. These gifts are to serve others. That word, that common good, means profitable, right? That people gain from these gifts that you have. Profitable for everyone together. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Ephesians 4:12 says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So we see that this is what our gifts are for, right? It's to build up the body of Christ and ultimately to glorify God. Amen. Going to go down the verses, by a couple of verses in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And you see this analogy of the church being a body and all of us being kind of body parts used a lot in Scripture. for the body, in verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that won't make it any less part of the body. Likewise, if the ear would say, I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that will not make it any less a part of the body. Now, this idea of like being part of the body, right? Ephesians 4, there's another verse that uses this analogy. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So imagine for a moment, yeah, you're in your body, right? This is a body, okay? And Jesus is the head, right? As said there in Ephesians, right? What does the head do? The head is the brain, you know, it sends thoughts and whatnot. I don't know, I'm not good at this science stuff. But, you know, it sends thoughts for you to perform a certain action, to do a certain thing, right? If my brain sends it to my mouth that, okay, say something, then my tongue, my air, my diaphragm, all these things work together so that I can say a thing, right? All these parts work together properly in order to achieve what the head sets out to do, right? So the same way, we as a body are all different parts, right? But we're all supposed to do what the head desires. Now imagine how frustrating it is when your body doesn't work. When you are sick, say, right, and then, you know, you can't breathe through your nose properly, when you injure yourself, and then you can't walk properly, like all these things. Imagine how frustrating it is, right, when things don't work properly. And that's for like a limited period of time. Now imagine if you yourself or you know someone who has a disability, right, the kind of frustration that comes with even doing like daily things that maybe someone wouldn't think so much about, of my body not doing what my head tells it to do, right? And imagine us as the church and as the body, when we aren't working properly, when we aren't healthy, when we aren't using our gifts well, and Jesus, the head of the church, wants to reach the world, wants to move his body, his church, in this grand project of renewal on the earth, but we aren't working properly. So conversely to that, gifts help us to be a healthy part of the body when we steward them well. Okay. Right in that verse, right, that in Peter, it says, in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Right? As good stewards, that means you can also be a bad steward, right? If we don't use these gifts to serve one another, right? So in other words, gifts can be wasted. right? It's not so much, it's okay, this is not like, oh, you don't use a gift, God doesn't love you anymore, anything of the sort, right? But gifts can be wasted. We read in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. A man goes away on a journey, he leaves these talents with his workers, his servants. When he comes back after his trip, some of them have multiplied the talents, some have done all that. There's one particular servant, right, that he says, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. Right? So gifts can be wasted. Does this feel like a big downer so far? Okay. But all that to say, right, I've basically gone through this passage and hit on these certain things, right, to tell us that we have gifts, right, that God desires for us to use these gifts to serve one another. And when we do that, we work together as a healthy body of Christ to do what he desires to do in the earth. Amen? So great, I have these unique gifts and all of that that I can use to build up the body of Christ. But why do I sometimes end up tired, bitter, resentful, burnt out by using these gifts to serve the body, right? If it sounds such a great idea, it sounds so life-giving, how does that happen? I believe this happens when we serve out of selfish ambition. Now, this is a tricky one, because no one will really go, yeah, I'm pretty selfishly ambitious, right? No one wakes up out of the day and like, today I'm going to be really selfish in church, I guess, I think. But there are a couple of things that are kind of tricky that sneak their way into our hearts, even when we try to use these gifts, okay? God never meant for us to use our gifts to serve ourselves. And when we serve ourselves out of these like unformed intentions, we reap tiredness, we reap bitterness, we reap resentfulness. Okay, now I have a pretty long quote by Timothy Keller, but I'm going to go the whole quote, okay? I think it's like 4 slides. So you're ready, just like sit back, lean a bit into the cushion chair, and we shall go. All right, but it's really good, okay? So listen up. The terrible danger is that we can look to our ministry activity as evidence that God is with us or as a way to earn God's favor and prove ourselves. If our hearts remember the gospel and are rejoicing in our justification and adoption, then our ministry is done as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the result will be that our ministry is done in love, humility, patience, and tenderness. But if our hearts are seeking self-justification, desiring to control God and others by proving our worth through our ministry performance, we will identify too closely with our ministry and make it an extension of ourselves, our identity. The telltale signs of impatience, irritability, pride, hurt feelings, jealousy, boasting will appear. And here's how this danger can begin. Your prayer life may be non-existent. You may have an unforgiving spirit towards someone, or sexual desires may be out of control. But you get involved in some ministry activity which draws out your spiritual gifts on display for everyone to see and celebrate. You begin to serve and help others. Soon you are affirmed by others and told the great things that you are doing. You see the effects of your ministry and you conclude, God must be with me. But actually God was helping someone through your gift even though your heart was far from him. Eventually, if you don't do something about your lack of spiritual fruit, and instead build your identity on your gifts and activity, there will be some kind of collapse. You will blow up at someone or lapse into some sin that destroys your credibility. And everyone, including you, will be surprised. But you should not be. Spiritual gifts without spiritual fruit is like a tire slowly losing air. Super sobering stuff, right? And how often have we heard of these collapses or these blow-ups, especially in recent times, yeah? The gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit. And often this looks like us serving in a couple of ways. That's very subtle. One, we serve to see results. We serve to see the effects, the impact, the lives that are changed by our golden touch, by our direct contribution. And when that doesn't happen, we are discouraged. We regret the effort that we poured into it. sometimes we find our sense of identity in being successful and good at ministry, right? Like really good at leading worship, really good at this and that, and that kind of becomes who I am. We serve for affirmation and appreciation. Sometimes the thing that defeats us is simple appreciation. When we serve people to be appreciated by them or anyone else, and then when we don't get that appreciation, right? When, you know, the pastor, the MC or what, thanks like, a whole bunch of people, then your name not inside. It stings. And then you think, why go and serve so hard for what? Nobody see you, so right? Three, we serve out of duty alone. Now, serving out of duty is not wrong in itself, right? But it's incomplete. A sense of responsibility, a sense of need. If I don't serve, there's no one else, everything will crumble. But duty is duty, and duty is not a heart of service. It may sound like I'm splitting hairs here, but track with me a bit, okay? Duty is limited. A heart of service goes above and beyond. Duty is doing things that I owe someone. Serving is looking at how I can understand and love someone, how I can be helpful to whatever they need, with a genuine heart that longs to give, and not just a maybe begrudging one at times that just looks to fulfill a responsibility. It's a whole higher level of like relational love and intention and energy that comes from there. If our service is motivated by duty alone, it will not last. Anything outside of our scope will be a burden. Anything more that we sign up for will be a crime. Before long, we will find ourselves bitter and burnt. And maybe, you know, even you had some experience of that in an environment that glorified serving out of duty and responsibility as like the most holy lifestyle. And after years of that, you found yourself on this like, of serving on a guilt trip. You find yourself in this place of feeling burnt. So, I've went through a lot of negative sounding stuff. I think it's about time to turn the trajectory a bit. Is there a better way, right, than serving through our pride, our selfishness, our reward, out of a sense of duty that won't leave us feeling troubled, won't leave us in this state? I believe so. Let's go back to the text in 1 Corinthians and see what scripture calls us to. So we're back to the original one that Kelda read in verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts? And I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the turnaround, by the way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, I can tell your phone number and your address and how many dogs you have and all that. Not hitting, that one legit. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. If I have all faith to move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, and have not love, I gain nothing. So this means a couple of things, right, about our serving, and it points us in a certain direction, right? It means that if I lead worship, right, and the way that I sing, the way that I choose my songs, the way that I do all that, right, is to showcase my voice, and how nice my voice sounds. And how I can, you know, make the tone a bit like, the people are like, hey, your voice is very nice. Eh? If I harmonize loudly, even when I'm not, you know, leading worship, so that everybody can hear, and like, can hear how good I sound, and how like talented I am with the harmonizing, very hard to follow, you know. I have nothing. Nothing. But, if I lead so that everyone, no matter where they're at, can join in and find strength to worship God. If I carry a melody so people feel more at ease to lift their own voice, maybe there's some love there. I think of the GUSH teachers who like pour themselves out. I see them, you know, after a Sunday, like, I took one J3 class, man, I'm like, whew, that's the real stuff. Who, you know, talk super expressively and loud and in high voices, even looking silly at times, right? Just for a child to learn a lesson, to understand something, to get down to someone's level. That's love. That's serving with love. And I think that this is the way that God calls us to, right? It's a serving with a genuine love, not a begrudging responsibility, a genuine love. The way of love is more excellent than striving for affirmation, significance, or duty. The love is to serve. To serve is to love. As we grow in our love, we grow in our service. As we grow in service, we grow in love. This service empowers more than it discourages. This service is tender and it's kind. It's compassionate, patient, merciful. This is service that truly loves the one that's being served. And I believe that this is the way that Jesus served and he calls us to serve. When we read in the text, Jesus is called in messianic passages the servant of the Lord. He says, I did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus washed his disciples' feet, not because it's a super special ritual, but because no one would do it. Jesus was mocked, spat on, tortured, beaten, and flogged. He went to the cross, hung, and suffered, shouldered the wrath of God for you and me. But this is what Scripture says about him. It says he endured it for the joy that was set before him, for the love that compelled him, so that we can have access to this love, so that we can be filled with this love, we can be fueled by this love for others, so that when we go on this whole exercise of wanting to serve with our gifts, that's that undercurrent that's pushing us along, that's the love of God that gives us this genuine love for people. We can be overflowing with his love as we receive it, and we can give it away freely. I have a diagram. Diagram. It may look confusing, but let me try and I did this pretty late. So right, love and service is the axis, okay? And then that line there is spiritual formation, right? Which is basically getting to a more mature place as a believer, looking more like Jesus, all right? Caveat, spiritual formation is not linear. Just putting it out there. But you see, you know, as we mature in Christ, in love and in service, you know, we are moving towards there. And, you know, if we find ourselves below the line, right, that is serving way more than the level of genuine love that we have, we find ourselves bitter, resentful, burnt out. Likewise, if we are so full of the love of God, super mature, full of the gifts and all of that, but we are lacking on the serving axis, right? Then we are in that box of wasted gifts. Yeah, thank you. I was like, yeah, diagram. I thought about it for a long time. Okay, just for us to understand, right, that this is the central idea, right, that between wasting our gifts and burning ourselves out, Jesus calls us to a more excellent way, that is a joyful life of service, fueled by his abundant love. And can I paint a picture or a vision for our community for a second? Imagine a community where we are all bursting with love for one another, eager to serve, where we don't compare, envy, bicker about this and that about serving, but we are eager to celebrate everyone's gift. Where each of us steps out to find the giftings, the uniqueness that God has created us in, that he has showered upon us, and we discover that in these labors of love for each other. Where it's so exciting just to see each of us step into the creativity that God has created us with. Where we are free from the traps of performance, of duty, of affirmation, to serve freely, as there's this energy to bless one another every single week, week in and week out. But more than that, in the midst of the bustle, in the midst of the activity, the bride of Christ is being matured, being built up, looking more and more compatible with the groom. If it can be said among us and here in our love and our service, in our ministry teams, in our huddles, in our practices, in our setups, in our teardowns, if it can be said of our love and service that love is patient and kind, love does not envy or boast, it's not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Just imagine just a picture of that. Right? There's not so much about the things that we're doing. It's how we're doing them. And I want to give us three practices that we can mature in love and service. The first is to grow in discernment of your serving opportunities. Right? I believe discernment is not just a tool that you use for one decision. It's something that you grow in with God, right? As you practice it. Discerning these service opportunities, right? You know, where are you committed to at the moment? What do you feel God beckoning you to do, to try out? Growing to be able to recognize these movements within, right? Is this from the flesh? Is this from God? Someone else told me in like, you know, deciding like things to commit to and all the kind of stuff that if your yes and no are before God, you can be confident of them before men, right? So going to God straight with these like questions and these like opportunities. Talking to others, right? Do you see this gift in me? Do you see this as something that I can contribute meaningfully towards? Would you pray with me? Would you discern with me? And volunteer. Well, as you well know, we are in Nexus. It's new. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of things, you know, hospitality, ops team, all these different things. Maybe you're a really good ops person, hey? Ever considered that? But opportunities like that, right? Which are going to be coming up, by the way. Take them, right? Serve, try things out that you didn't think that you could try before. In doing so, grow. In doing so, love. All right? Second is to grow in awareness of our intentions. There's this thing called the examine prayer. It's basically a daily kind of like reflection, looking back at your day, finding where God is in the midst of it. It's basically reviewing your day with God, right? And I think it's so important, especially as we serve, as we do these things together. Maybe if we rub shoulders sometimes, maybe there's like some tension sometimes in these things that we, you know, when we go back, it's not so much about just like, man, I did an awesome job leading worship. It's how I did it, right? And take these moments with the Lord to reflect. Is there something I need to apologize for? Is there something that I need to change about the way that I'm doing things? And the last is to grow in abiding love. John 15 says, abide in me, in verse 4, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in the one who is love. Where else will we find this love to serve with strength? Where else does our strength come from? Who is the source of your affirmation, of your security, of your assurance? And why will we serve looking for all those things where we can receive it freely from our Father in heaven? Make time to abide. Remember how simply loved you are, even if you don't do a thing. That's who you are. And that's the place that you can serve from. I want to invite us to stand in this place. And I want to advise us, you know, for a moment, if you can remember that graph, right, in your mind, and just take it before God, right? And just ask God, where am I on this graph today? When I think of this year ahead, when we think of even this vision of what it looks like to serve with this genuine love, of discovering the gifts that God has placed in your life, of growing to serve without this need for affirmation and results. Begin to come before God and ask, you know, what will it take for me to get there? What will it take for me to make movements towards that place? God, where am I lacking? Where is my heart bitter or resentful? Even when I hear about loving your church, loving your bride and your body, what's my response? Is there a knee-jerk kind of visceral response? Is there some kind of pain that has not been dealt with? There's an obstacle that's hindering me from loving your body. God desires for us to be wholehearted. Being half-hearted is about the most exhausting thing in the world. And even as I was preparing, I just felt specifically for a group of people who in this area of serving and service just feel a lot of pain. It's not a simple relationship, is it? And maybe that you have felt burned, felt hurt by the church, by leaders, by just the system of the way things are. That's left you with this taste in your mouth when you think about serving. If you've experienced that, I'm so sorry. But would you open up your heart to God today? Would you allow God's love to fill your heart? It's not so much about the doing. It's not so much about what comes out of it, what's going to be demanded even. Just allow the love of God to fill your heart again. Spirit, we open our hearts to you. Lord, we leave no stone unturned. Even areas, God, that we have been holding on to for a long time. Lord, where there is pain, where there is unforgiveness, Lord, where there are these obstacles within us, God, we offer them to you, Lord. We want to open our hearts to your love again, God. God, I pray you would heal these hearts, God, that are being presented to you. God, I pray, Lord, for weeping to last a moment, but joy to come. joy of being in your house, the joy of walking in the places you've called us to walk in, the joy of going on an adventure with you. For too long, God, if we've held back from that, God, I ask today for just a fresh anointing. I ask for a fresh pouring of your Spirit to come and testify within us, God, of your great, mighty love. Yeah, I just want to invite us to respond to that as we go back into worship.